speak to my heart tonight. Draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message tonight exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your Spirit. So it means controlled completely with your Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now we got up here on the front row, you remember him, right? Bubba. And if I'm desperate for an amen, I'm going to point to Bubba. And hopefully you'll get the point and you'll say amen too. Bubba is modeling something that I want to show you. What do you think of my new glasses? You think they're pretty cool? Now, you can probably see them from there somewhat. Okay, any idea what kind of glasses these are? I love glasses. Any other word you want to put in there? How about compassion? How about glasses of compassion? We've been looking at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read all of the verses again. But the point we've been wanting to get to is the part we're just starting tonight. And then it starts telling us some certain things we should put into our life or to put on. And these are glasses of compassion. And you know, every day, now it's not meant to be flavor, it's not to be a fashion statement really, it's not really supposed to be a little bit obnoxious or anything, but it's just to prove the point that you and I see the world in a certain way. But you and I need to see the world through the compassion of Jesus. And every day if we got up and really put on glasses, figuratively if you would, like this, and look at things the way the Lord does, I believe we'd be very pleasing to the Lord, don't you? We're going to be looking at that tonight, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read the first 12 verses of Colossians chapter 3, and then we're going to talk about, title tonight, Put On the Glasses of Compassion. Put on the glasses of compassion. It's here in this passage of Scripture. You'll see it in verse 12. Wonderful chapter, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We have, as I'm sure I've said probably every time I've read this verse, we got way too many Christians seeking the things of this world instead of the things of heaven, things of Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord for that. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So we're supposed to put that to death in our life, but it says, verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. I always like that tense there, that past tense. You also walked past tense sometime when you lived past tense in them. We could say, yeah, it used to be me. It used to be me, you might say. But not, it's not supposed to be that way anymore. It says, verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. And then it gives us some other things that we're not supposed to have in our life either. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See, this scripture is full of stuff we're supposed to put off, and then it talks about some stuff we're supposed to put on. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How do we get that knowledge? Again, through the Word of God, living for Him. And we're supposed to look more and more like Jesus all the time. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's supposed to be a description of our life. He is all in my life. and he is in all in my life. There should not be any single solitary compartment of our life that we do not open up to the power and the presence of God. If there's that compartment in our life, we better throw it out or better open it up and say, Lord, cleanse me, help me in this area. Because we're not supposed to be just segmented into certain areas, and that's my God area, but this is my personal area. Verse 12. Now here's the put on part. We've been talking about putting off, putting off, putting off. Here, put on. Put on, therefore, since we're new creatures. Therefore, since we're new creatures, put on as the elect of God. We talked about that. God knew us before the foundation of the world that we'd be saved. We're the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, according to 1 Peter. It says, holy and beloved. We're special to God. We're loved by God in a special way. But what are we supposed to put on? Here is article number one that we're supposed to put on. It says, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. Now, you might be saying, that's a little bit odd. I don't know. We use that terminology a whole lot. If you say we don't use that terminology a whole lot, guess what? Ding, 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 ding. You're absolutely correct. Okay? Tonight we're looking at putting on the glasses of compassion. First of all, point number one, bowels of mercies. What does it mean? What does it mean? You see, the Greeks located the deeper emotions of a human being in their intestinal area. So the Greeks associated it to their intestinal area, okay? So therefore, we have here what? Bowels. What do you think you and I would say today? What would we say is the center of emotion for an individual? We'd say what? Heart, right. So the bowels would be like to us, heart, okay? But what about mercies? What about mercies? Now, the Greek word there means pity. It means compassion. It means mercy for the ills of others. So, for the ills of others, what people are going through, we ought to, in our heart, our center of emotion, have a feeling of pity, compassion, and mercy toward the people that are around us. Can I tell you that a lot of times when I see the people around us and I see what they're doing, my first thought is not compassion, my first thought is not pity, and my first thought is not always mercy. Now, in no way am I insinuating that we're ever, 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 ever to endorse the sins of the world. But you and I have the responsibility. Remember, now we've shifted from put all this other stuff off out of our life. What are we supposed to put on? Well, we're supposed to put on bowels of mercies. To make it understandable and applicable and maybe take it home, we're supposed to put on glasses of compassion when we look at the world. And it's not just because of eyes. It's supposed to fit. We're supposed to feel it in our heart. I mean, how do you think Jesus feels about the sins of the world today and the sinners of the world today? How do you think he feels about it? He's sad. He's disgusted. But does that take away his mercy, his compassion, or his pity toward those folks? No. I mean, it is consistent, don't you think? He wants to see those people saved. The Bible says what Jesus came on, to seek and to save that which was lost. So I fully get it, and I believe when we see the sins of the world, you know, there should be something in there that just shakes its head going, that's not right. You know, righteously indignant. But it should not flare up in such an anger that we want to punch them out. I probably shouldn't do that again. I might hurt my hand. Now, really, I mean, we get really, really ticked. And we should be righteously indignant. Now, I'm not easy on sin. I'm not like, okay, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not. It is sin. If it's sin to God, it is supposed to be sin to us. And we look at it that way and we never endorse it and we never pat them on the back and say it's okay. We never say just come on into our church just as you are and we'll take you just the way you are. You can be a member. You can be a deacon. You can be a pastor. We'd love to see every single lost person in the community come here, get saved, come to know Jesus as Savior and have a radical change in their heart and life. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's sometimes kind of hard to get past that, you know, it really ticks me off. Really, right? But at some point, we got to get past it and show bowels of mercy, a heart of mercy, compassion, if you will, and pity. Second point tonight, our Heavenly Father is a God of mercy. You know, it's kind of like, okay, God, yep, I want all your mercy. But now you expect me to show mercy to other people? Okay, God, I'll take all your compassion. But you really want me to show compassion to them? Okay, I'll take all your pity and all your help. But you really want? But our God is a God of mercy. We ought to be thankful for that. And when I say this next time, I'm going to point to Bubba here on the front row. And if you agree with that statement, you're going to chime in with Bubba and say a hearty amen. I am thankful for God's mercy. I give you about a 6 on that one, I think. But that's all right. Our Heavenly Father is a God of mercy. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is basically the same, a form of the same Greek word specifically here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It says, what it's saying is really because of the mercies of God, we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But you see, we need to recognize that God shows us mercies. You know, every day we ought to make up our mind, are we going to be on God's side or are we going to do our own thing? And according to those verses, we ought to make up our mind to be on God's side because of the mercies of God. He's shown us great mercy. Where in the world would you be without Jesus? Where in the world would you be without Jesus? Again, as we see people doing all kind of wild and wicked and evil things, and that's exactly what it is, wild, wicked, and evil things, and we should never deviate from that thought and that stance. But guess what? If we weren't shown the mercies of God in salvation, we could be doing the same things they're doing. Couldn't we? Our Heavenly Father is a God of mercy. It says because of the mercies of God, we're supposed to be serving Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. We're looking at the point, our Heavenly Father is a God of mercy. In the title of the message, put on the glasses of compassion. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it calls Him. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, if you say, George Washington is the father of America, father of our country. So that kind of means the originator or one who had a hand in it, right, from the very beginning. This says that my Heavenly Father is the Father of mercies. He's the one that initiates mercy. He's the one that shows us mercy. If we want to be like Him and we want to emulate Him, we want to be like Him, if He's a God of mercy, we should be people of mercy and compassion and pity as well, right? James chapter 5 and verse 11. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Notice what it says. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Wow. I'm glad that the Lord shows to me tender mercies. You know, sometimes that's about all you can ask for, isn't it? You heard the expression, well, He threw Himself on the mercy of the court, right? Sometimes we have no other choice but to throw ourselves on the mercy of God and say, God, I completely made a mess of this. I completely showed myself. I completely did what I shouldn't do. Here I am. I need Your mercy. But I'm thankful that our Heavenly Father is a God of mercy. Do you sense how selfish it is to be here and say, mercy, 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 I need Your mercy, 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 mercy. But look around, and all we want to show other people is anger and hatred. I mean, can you see the inconsistency in that? Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Notice what it says. Jesus' words. He says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. It's very similar to saying the same thing, put on bowels of mercy. In other words, be merciful because your Father is merciful. Just think for a moment. You know, humans have limited patience, right? And I understand that God's patience is also limited to a degree in the sense that at some point in the Great Tribulation, He's going to pour out His wrath upon this earth. And when someone who leaves this world without knowing Jesus, God's mercy is ended because they spend eternity from that point forth forever and ever and ever in a place separated from God in a place called hell, a place of torment. So God's patience has limits as well, but humans, we really got limited patience sometimes, don't we? I mean, we're pretty good for a little bit. We're like, okay. I mean, just think of a parent and kids, right? You're driving somewhere, and Junior and Becky's in the back seat, and they're riding with you, and you're driving, and you know everything's going pretty good for the first 2 minutes, and then Junior says, "Are we there yet?" And Becky says, "I got to use the bathroom." You know, kind of been there, done that. Have y'all kind of been there, done it? You know, maybe you're pretty good for a little bit. Oh no, Junior. We'll be there in a little bit. Just sit back and enjoy the trip. And Becky, we'll find the first available bathroom. And then that's all that problem is averted. And then you get back in the car, and then the same thing. And, you know, like, well, he's picking on me. He hit me. You know, no. She made an ugly look at me first, and that's why I did. You know, just like, and then mom and dad sometimes just lose patience right there. I'm thankful that our Heavenly Father is very long-suffering and patient toward us. As I've said many times, if God wasn't merciful, I'd just be a pile of ashes right here. I'd just be a pile. What in the world's that? I think that's Pastor Steve. Because he messed up again. He blew it. But I'm seriously thankful for God's mercy. And because of His mercy, get this. Because of His mercy, I'm going to spend forever in heaven. And they can say whatever they want to. I'm getting a mansion. Bible says in my Father's house are many mansions. And I think we'll have a great time on this new earth, having a great time enjoying the new earth. I think, why in the world would you create a new earth if we couldn't enjoy it? So we're going to enjoy it. We're going to be praising the Lord forever and ever. There's not going to be any bad days. There's not going to be any bad announcements. You've got cancer. There's not going to be any, well, it's going to rain today. No, it's not. Just think about that. Because of God's mercy, that's what I had to look forward to. I'm thankful that our Heavenly Father is a God of mercy. And we're supposed to, point number one, remember that, we're supposed to put on bowels of mercy or a heart of mercy, of compassion, of pity toward the folks around us. Our Heavenly Father has set the example, but you know what? Jesus showed mercy and compassion in His earthly ministry. Jesus showed compassion on people. Now, this is a different Greek word, but it seems to me to be the same basic idea. There are seven times in the Gospels that Jesus looks around and sees people like us, and the Bible says He has compassion on them. Jesus was a very busy person. Would you agree with that? Now, I know He's the Son of God. I'm not belittling Him by saying person, but He had a lot going on. He had a lot of things to do. He had a lot to accomplish, a lot of people to heal, a lot of demons to cast out, and all that. But seven different times it says that Jesus had compassion on people. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. It says, but when He saw the multitude, He was what? Moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Were these sinners? Absolutely. Did they do things that the good Lord disagreed with and says that's wrong, that's sinful? Were there sins in their life that the Lord would never condone and just simply call it sin? Absolutely. But He looked among them and said, guess what? I'm moved with compassion because you're like sheep without a shepherd. Man, pretty applicable to 2024 in America. Doddridge Harrison all the counties around us. Clarksburg, don't you think so? Especially as people in Doddridge County. Good thing Charity's not here. She'd chime in and throw something at me. I didn't mean that, Tim. I was just kidding, man. But the point I'm trying to make, we look around and we see sinners. And they're doing things we don't like. And we should never like it, the stuff they're doing. I've heard it said, and you've heard it said probably a gazillion times, hate the sin, but love the sinner. And Jesus, I'm sure when he looked around at these sinful people, hated the sin that they were in. And you know, Jesus knew. He was God. He knew what their thoughts even were. He knew what their lifestyle was. But he loved the people. He showed compassion to the people. We should too. Matthew 14:14. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And if I got this right, also in Mark 6:34, a parallel passage, this is the feeding of the 5,000, if you'll read on. But he looked and he saw people. And these were not perfect people. These were sinners. Now, some of them would come to accept Jesus as the Messiah, but some of them wouldn't. But he had compassion toward them. Matthew 15:32. Feeding of the 4,000. Also a parallel passage, Mark 8:2. Says, then Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. What? I have compassion on the multitude. He was looking through those glasses of compassion and said, I've got compassion on these people. Because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. What about Matthew 20:34. This is speaking of two blind men. It says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You know, these people, when Jesus healed these people, there's no indication that they were living, if you will, you understand this expression, at the foot of the cross before that, or that they were living right with God before that. They could have been dirty, rotten sinners. But that wasn't the criteria for Jesus looking at them and showing compassion. You know, every human being is created in the very image of God. Do you know that white people aren't better than black people? You know that black people aren't better than Asian people? And I can just keep on going. You know, Asian people aren't any better than South African people. I mean, just go on and on. We're all created in the image of God. We have personality. We have a soul. We are eternal beings. Wow. When we look at the lost world, we need to look at the lost world through glasses of compassion. I'm really convinced that Jesus did. And Jesus, believe me, he was not wimpy on sin. Remember cleaning out the temple? Flipping over the tables and the money changers? And I believe one of the Gospels mentions he made a cord like a whip. Get out of here, you cheaters! Remember the Pharisees and how hard he broke down on them and said, you know, you hypocrites, and you're like graves. You know, on the inside, like you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're like tombs. I'm paraphrasing very loosely. But the idea was, don't ever think that Jesus was soft on sin. And don't ever believe that I think we ought to be soft on sin. But when we look at the people like Jesus, we ought to have compassion. Is that right, Bubba? Look at Mark 1:41. Mark 1:41. This is a leper. It says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Showed compassion. Had compassion on the leper. Mark 5:19. The demoniac of the Gadarenes, the land of the Gadarenes. Notice, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had what? Compassion on thee. I mean, my goodness. You talk about seeing people that's kind of radical in the world. Guess what? This guy didn't wear any clothes. Seriously. Because he was so wild. Remember he was possessed with demons? And if you look close, they tried to put chains on him. They couldn't bound him up. And one of the Gospels mentions that he didn't wear clothes. And then when they saw him later, he was sitting in his right mind with clothes on. I was like, wow. You know, what would you and I say if we saw someone streaking, you know, the streets of Clarksburg? Look at that idiot there. Look at that stupid guy. You know, we ought to stay home. They ought to have jails for people. And I'm saying it's not right. You got to understand me. It's sin. But where does the compassion come in? Where does the compassion come in? One more. There's seven times that I found in the Bible that Jesus said he had compassion. Or the Bible says that Jesus had compassion. Luke 7:13. This is the widow of Nain. Remember? She had a son and he died. And they were having the funeral procession and Jesus shows up. And it says, and the Lord saw her. She was a widow and she lost her only son. It says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Compassion, 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 compassion. Probably, to me, it's very appropriate that there's seven different times it's mentioned. Seven is that number of completion or perfection. There may not be anything to it in that case, but I'm like, wow. Jesus showed compassion to the multitudes. He showed compassion to blind people. He showed compassion to lepers. He showed compassion to a demoniac. He showed compassion to a woman that had lost her only son. You see, it seems to me that Jesus kind of had the habit of showing compassion to people. What about you and I? We finally got to the part in this chapter that I wanted to dwell on. We're going to be looking at stuff we're supposed to put on. The first one, I'll read verse 12 again. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God. We're children of God, holy and beloved. We're special to God. We're loved by God supremely. But what are we supposed to put on? We're supposed to put on bowels of mercy, or have a heart of mercy, compassion, and pity. We looked at our Heavenly Father as a God of mercy, and we looked at Jesus showing mercy or compassion in his earthly ministry as well. So I ask you again, no pictures, please, but I ask you again, are you putting on your glasses of compassion? Now, the thing about it, it doesn't say, when it says put on this and put on that, it doesn't say that we're forced to put it on. I mean, we can get up, and I've known some people that profess to know Jesus, and they're just downright kind of mean and not very friendly and just kind of, I mean, really, when I see that, I think, ooh. It's because when they got up, they chose to put bitterness or hatefulness or unforgiveness or something on instead of glasses of compassion. So you can get up tomorrow and you can make up your mind. Again, he doesn't force. He could have forced this. He could have made me a robot. And I'd say, yes, sir, I will put on my glasses of compassion today because you made me do it. And I could look around and I could have compassion because I'm a robot doing exactly what God makes me to do. But he does not make me a robot. He gives me a free will. But he tells us, make sure, if you're a Christian, God loves you. You're special to God. You're one of God's children. Guess what? You need to make the conscious decision when you get up to put on those glasses of compassion. And when you do, you're going to look an awful lot like Jesus in that area. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you this question. Could you do a better job of putting on glasses of compassion? Scripture puts it bowels of mercies or a heart of mercy. Could you look at people with a heart of compassion in a better way? If God has spoken to your heart about that, would you in the silence of the moment right now just say, God, I could do better. I could put on those glasses of compassion more. Help me. Help me to put on those glasses of compassion for the people around me that are lost without the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. Lord, we don't have to preach and teach our opinion, but Lord, we can just look clearly at your word, and your word clearly tells us, put off all this bad stuff, the old man, what we used to be, put on the good stuff. And Lord, as we look tonight, Lord, bowels of mercies or those glasses, Lord, of compassion, Lord, help us to consciously in the mornings when we get up, Lord, think, you know, how am I going to look at the world today? I'm going to look at it with glasses of compassion toward those that are lost without Jesus. Lord, help us to do better. Forgive us where we fail you in this area. Lord, we have the perfect example of the Heavenly Father, Jesus, showing compassion to people. And may we do our best with your help. It's all about you. It's all about your help, Lord, to show compassion to other people. Lord, not just through glasses of compassion, but Lord, have a heart of compassion, we pray. Lord, if there's anyone listening in tonight, or here that's never trusted Jesus as Savior, or not sure they're saved, I pray that they'll call out to you sincerely from their heart in prayer, talk to you, tell you in prayer that they believe Jesus was your Son who died on the cross to pay for their sins, and ask you, Lord, to forgive them of their sins and for Jesus to be their Savior. And Lord, if they mean that from their heart and call out to you in sincerity and truth, Lord, they can be saved. I pray they'll do that very thing. Again, thank you for your Bible. In Jesus' name we pray.